Welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. We are going to this week scrap all previously scheduled topics, of which I can't even remember.
Calvinism and something else.
Oh, yes. Right. And we had a question about complementarianism.
Which we answered.
No, I got one.
Oh.
I got a question from a listener. But we're not going to talk about any of those things today.
The proper radio etiquette or the podcast etiquette is to say we have lots of letters, but you wanted to...
No, there was just lots of
notes and questions, but you had picked one out that we'll have to answer next week.
Right. Because we have a vast listenership, of course.
Exactly.
No, instead of all that, today we're going to just take up the apocalypse and talk about that.
So, by the apocalypse, what do you mean?
Well, I believe you were the one that was on Facebook to discover the fabulous news that by presidential edict, we now have transgender bathrooms in all
not public just bathrooms, schools. But showers.
So locker rooms.
So locker rooms. And
federally funded government schools.
Right. Now, the power. It's not a law. He can't make a law. But what he can do is say federal funding will not go to those schools that refuse to obey this edict. And the edict is that all bathrooms...
Edict for isn't the right word.
Okay, well, decree?
Decree.
fiat. Tyrannical fiat. Is that better? Is that all bathrooms and showers will be open to people who are identifying with the gender of the specific bathroom. So if you identify as a male and your parents say that you are a male, even though you're biologically a female, you will be able to go into the male bathroom and take a shower, and vice versa. So from now, for in public schools, unless the public schools want their funding taken away or to face a lawsuit, they will have to comply with this edict. We've steered clear pretty much of politics on this podcast. And
have we really?
Well, sort of. In our bloggingnesses, we've not explicitly come down. We've come down very strongly on certain issues, but we haven't discussed various personages. And in this case, I think it's warranted. I think the president, who we respect because of his office, has taken a step toward tyranny. Well, I'm sorry, he's taken a leap toward tyranny. And
it's not the first one.
Of course it's not. But he is disregarding and rejecting and defying God's revealed structure of male and female. And so this will not end well for him or for us.
Why do you say that?
Historically, well, I don't want to be apocalyptic, as you say.
So I'm usually the one that loves to cry for the apocalypse. No, I don't cry for it, but I like to point it out wherever I see it. It's sort of an enjoyable meme that I have, looking for the apocalypse in all things.
Yeah.
And you are so slow to see what's obviously in front of us. It's been the end of the world for quite some time, many years, and you are so measured and calm.
Well, it won't end well for two reasons. I mean, the first reason has been true for 8 years or longer, and that is that when you defy God, there will be consequences. So this nation has been on a decline because of gay marriage and because of abortion, and we can expect God's judgment unless we repent of those things. We can expect
already having God's judgment. We don't need to expect it.
He's handing us over to our own ways, and that's absolutely. And those individuals who are instrumental in protecting, preserving, and providing for these things, including those who vote for those who do these things, can expect that there will be consequences for that. So we're looking at, in that way, difficult times. But the reason I think this is very, very dangerous, what the president has just done, is this, and the second reason this is going to be a bad thing, is that historically, anyway, when a government or a ruler or some kind of power threatens to corrupt the wives and children of those people he or she has sworn to protect, there's been violence. And that's exactly what's just happened. The president has just said, I will allow males into your daughter's dressing rooms to expose themselves, and you will have nothing you can do about it. And, you know, if you're wealthy, you can go to private school. If you're able, you can homeschool. But what about those poor families whose parents both work, who they have kids in school? They have no defense. The president has just now said, I will allow males to expose themselves to your daughters. And to your wives, if you're in a publicly funded college or graduate school. So you've now left many people in this country without any kind of defense for their wives and daughters. And that's not a good thing. Historically speaking, that generally leads to some kind of violence.
Which particular historical moment are you thinking of that you think has ended so badly? I mean, many historical moments have been really sort of very sad and depressing. The French Revolution.
Rome. I can't think of a revolt in which the one of the primary motivating factors has not been either food for our families or freedom for our families or protection for our families. When the family is threatened, that's what gets the average Joe off his couch to pick up a rifle or to pick up a sword or to pick up a spear. That's the problem. We're now challenged. Now the government overreach has reached into the living room and said, your daughter is ours. Your wife is ours. That doesn't go well. Ever. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day, but what I think is going to happen next is because of this edict, you're going to have a lot of people pulling their kids out of public school. You're going to have a lot of kids being homeschooled, and those who can afford it will go to private school. And so the revisionist activists who are in charge of these things will have to find a way to shut those avenues of escape off.
See, I have a hard time believing that the American public even cares that much.
Well, I don't.
So why do you think that this is going to sort of enliven the American public, where a lot of other things before this moment haven't?
I don't know that this particular thing will. I think when there's no escape, it will. I think when the bridges are burnt. If one of the presidential candidates gets his way and a wall is built, and that provides and that prevents any escape, and laws are passed to make homeschooling and private schooling more difficult, then that's when we'll see if there's any virility left in American malehood.
That's what I'm wondering.
Manhood.
Is there a male population that hasn't been so demoralized by feminism that there could be a rising up of men? Because I look at I don't think the internet is exactly a really good estimation of how manly men really are, but there's been such a concerted, for so many years, effort to disarm the man's personality from being that of a protector or being angry about the destruction of his family. So a lot of men have sat by while their daughters have already been corrupted by society, by feminism, by the school system, and watched while their sons weren't brought up to be men. Well, how does this not just sort of play into that perfect storm of lack of gendered personality?
Well, I do kind of think that you're allowing the pop culture to define the culture. I don't think that that's.
You don't think it's as bad as it looks?
No, I think it's pretty. I think it's horrible. I think it's awful. But at the same time, I do think that the Imago Dei is not ruined. And I mean, well, it is ruined, but it's not any more ruined now than it was before. And so there. The Imago Dei is the image of God in the human person. And yes, because we're fallen creatures by nature, we are sinful, we don't seek for God, we don't do the good things. But there's this common grace that God has given to all human beings. That's why even in pagan countries, non-believing, non-Christian countries, you have a basic sense of order. Murder is wrong. Adultery is wrong. This should not be. This should be. Lie. We shouldn't lie. Those kinds of things are generally understood by human beings. And I think this is beginning to transgress that basic common grace, the inscription of God's law in the heart that is there. So I do think that despite what we're being told on Facebook or in, you know, various media outlets, I do think this strikes at something very basic and core to
masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think men in general can stand by without rage and watch their wives and daughters be corrupted. That's not something that men, even whether they're pagan or Christian, can abide. So I think this is tapping into something very dangerous. And dangerous in a good way.
Oh. Dangerous in a good way.
Men should defend their wives and daughters, right? right.
Well, but it doesn't seem very good. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, I enjoy thinking about the apocalypse, but I come from a culture where you know, if you don't like the political establishment, you just get the army and you just overthrow it. I mean, one of my favorite things with this political season was the Daily Show explanation of Trump as a type. He's really an African president. The reason why I'm Trump curious and I enjoy Trump really as a person is because he is an African president. He will make America, Africa again, and that will feel really great psychologically to me because I love Africa, and that sort of that political system feels very normal. I don't think that Americans will enjoy being a third world country. I think it's great.
I will say this decision probably made his election more probable. I mean, I think that Hillary Clinton would go further, or at least, you know, support the decision that
Obama
has made.
There's
Trump
a libertarian
may or may
streak.
Not. Trump is for Trump, so who knows what
he's
Trump's
for
do.
Trump, but there's a libertarian streak to Trump that I find personally satisfying.
Think he's more dangerous. I mean, we don't want to get into this discussion right now, but
you don't appreciate.
I will
my
never.
Trump curiosity.
I'm a never Trumper. I will never vote for Trump.
I'm not saying that I'm going to vote for Trump. I'm just saying that I continue to be vaguely Trump curious.
I command you not to vote
for
Trump.
Okay. All right. Well, then I guess this conversation is over. Or Hillary. Well, so the great satisfaction to me on a day like this is that I am a mediocre homeschooler at best. And today it is such a boost to my psychology that I have already mitigated against this in my own life with my kids, which is why I'm a dangerous person.
Can you imagine having to start homeschooling now? I mean, that would.
Yeah, I think that would be really rough. But I mean, I understand why I'm a dangerous entity and why homeschooling will eventually be a target.
Yeah, because you're circumventing the ideological system that's being set up.
And because my children, I mean, today, I'm just going to. My second son is obsessed with knights, and he wrote a 4-page paper for me about knights. And the chief element of his paper, the thing that was sort of occupied his mind the most, was that knights do not hit women. Hmm. That even if a knight is hit by a woman, which I questioned, I said, well, shall I call him by his blog name or his real name?
Call him by his blog name.
Child Romulus.
Okay.
His blog name is Romulus. I don't remember any instances in history where a woman hit a knight.
I do.
And he corrected me and said, oh, yes, ma'am, mm-hmm. there is. And a good knight, that good knight did not hit back. And that was really key. That has stuck in his mind. And he has four sisters. Appallingly, this poor child is beset by four sisters.
Right.
And the desire to hit back is forever and foremost in his mind all the time, because he is
right.
hassled by his sisters, and he would like to defend himself and hit back. And yet, when he has hit back, on the rare occasion, his little life has seemed as if it was over to him. And so he knows very in his core that he is not to
ever hurt a woman.
Even if it means his own death. So there's a whole paragraph in his paper about how it would be better for a knight to die than to fight against a woman.
See, that's great. That's Christ, right?
And he likened it to the gospel. He brought the church and the gospel, and he was very okay. But he's gonna be 10 in July, and he's a little. Well, he's very small because we're very short people, but he has not drunk from the cup of this cultural deluge. And so he's a dangerous little guy, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful today that he that's central to who he is. That can't be shaken out of him in easily,
right?
You know, as he encounters the culture. But right. So anyway, I'm glad today that I'm a homeschooler and that I haven't utterly failed, because I have had a lot of failures over the years. I'm not good at this, and it's not something I wanted to do. I wanted to send the kids to a school, to somebody who's more equipped than I am, more knowledgeable. But the corruption that we're looking at today is really profound.
It really is. Yeah.
Just
the slow burning fire of women serving in military roles in combat, and then the earlier this year, the suggestion that they be subject to the draft.
I thought that was a done deal.
Is it a done deal? I don't know.
Oh, I saw that on your Facebook page.
I don't think it's a done deal yet. But if it is a done deal, that's the same thing. I mean, because I don't think any Christian man should ever submit to that. We should never allow our daughters to register for the draft. My daughters will never register for the draft.
What if they're commanded to by the law? That's a dishonor to women. Which one of you goes to jail?
It's against scripture, so I'll go to jail, and you know, I'll hope that she'll be willing to go to jail rather than serve in the military, because that is not what women are designed to do, and it's a violation of God's created order. It's a rebellion of the world against God, and we cannot participate in that.
Well, I mean, we can.
No,
it won't go well with us.
We cannot knowingly participate in that, right?
So,
the women in the military thing is of one piece with a male going into a woman's bathroom and veiling himself in front of her. And calling himself a woman. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. There's no sexual difference anymore. No biology no longer determines gender, and that's
I mean, that's been true for several weeks now.
five weeks ago.
Yeah. That biology determines gender. But you know, I do find this utter. I mean, it's not fascinating in the sense that we're living it. It's an interesting psychological experiment. And, you know, so in college, I loved my genderqueer theory studies. It was so fun.
You took a lot of horribly...
I took decadence. I took genderqueer theory, literary theory, feminism. I managed to miss the intersectional feminism thing. I'm really sad. I'm having to catch up now, but it's been, I mean, it was a fun intellectual thought back in the 90s. I enjoyed reading about it and the everything kind of, you know, you can take everything apart. You can lay out all the pieces on the table, all the words, you can just sort of slew them out and look at the mess and sort of, you know, wonder about it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done.
Yeah.
It's when it's all in the mind, one thing, but what that has amounted to is that the souls of our children really are splayed out all over the table now, and you can't pick up the pieces anymore. You can't reassemble them into order. You can't deconstruct language and then put it back once it's been mm-hmm. taken apart. So how ought the Christian to respond? I was hoping that we could just move to Mexico, but
Trump
is going to build a wall.
That's the issue. Who said this first? You were saying the...
Oh, well, Mark Stein said it years
right,
ago.
Right.
I mean, he's been saying, you guys don't want a wall. Surely you don't want a wall because you think you're going to keep people out, but really you're not going to be able to get out. And you're not doing anything that would make you want to stay here ultimately. But
look, what we have is the mass slaughter of unborn babies. We have the blaspheming of marriage. We have the now mandated exposure of male genitalia in women's showers, which is
just a treat.
So what is there not to object to, and what is there not to flee from? And yet, if you know, right now the escape routes are homeschooling and private school. And we have, you know, we still have some semblance of defense in our legislatures, state and national. But the way political correctness has worked over the last three decades, has been dissent is
well, and that's
politically
people
inexpedient. So,
are
so
Trump
pretty
curious
soon,
because he has finally broken through that incredibly
what they don't
horrific understand barrier.
Is that Trump is just another one of those politically expedient people. He's for Trump. And so if the political winds are blowing toward letting males expose their genitalia to females in public schools, Trump will be all for it. And he'll be a harder persecutor of those who disagree than anyone else, because it's about him and he's got his ego in it. He's a dictator and a tyrant.
Well, yes,
he's
but
going to
so
be.
So is
right,
Madam Hillary.
Well, we're in a bad shape. Yeah,
but
we're in a bad.
Just don't see
I
mean, how.
I don't think you should vote for either one of them.
I don't know why your ire is up over Trump.
Because he's irrational, and it's almost this is the thing. It's almost more frightening to have an irrational person at the head of a nation than a rational, evil person.
Now that's where
because
I've...
he has his finger on the nuclear button.
Okay, but here, let me just counter that since we're just going purely.
If someone threatens Trump's pride,
what the Christian
he's gonna launch nuclear
warheads. Okay, but now let me considered and systematic evil. You can't escape from, but an irrational evil. It's willy-nilly. I mean, in the third world, you can...
Satan is an irrational evil.
No, he's systematic. He's rational.
No,
he's rational in his
system. He was all for the death of Jesus.
Well, okay, I know there's a substantial irrationality to anybody
him.
That hates God. But, okay,
evil is, at the core, irrational.
No, but there... Yes, that's true. I totally agree with that. But there's a consideredness about the democratic platform that's more thought through, whereas Trump is sort of willy-nilly, and he's not going to think about it ahead of time. And in some ways, I just prefer that chaos.
You can think through how to defend yourself against the democratic platform, because it's a platform.
See, nobody
it's
has.
It's set out. You know what they're going to do. You know why they're... Don't vote for Hillary. She's supporting baby murderers, so don't support her. Or Trump. But I think the more dangerous of the two is Trump, because you don't know what he's going to do. You have no idea. You can see Hillary's right hook, and you can see it coming from miles away. She's telegraphed her moves. You know what she's going to do. You don't have any idea what Trump's going to do.
I guess I just prefer that. I prefer the not knowing.
I don't, because it could be with someone of his ego and of his malice to have that much power. I doubt that Hillary would be quick to nuke Russia or China or India or some other nation if they offended her. I don't doubt that Trump would be he would nuke it. If his pride was on the line, if his word was on, he would take millions of people out to defend himself.
That's possible.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You haven't convinced me, though.
Okay,
but I asked you, let's make this more holy, shall we?
I'm sorry. We told people we're going to put it into the
purple. How ought a Christian to live in these last days before the return of Christ?
Well,
praying that he does indeed return before homeschooling becomes illegal.
Run, you fools.
To the mountains.
Right, well, that's Gandalf's line.
Oh, it's Gandalf. Right. I thought you were quoting Jesus, but no, I'm just kidding.
Gandalf, word. Right. But keep your eyes open.
To move to Mexico, and yet we continue to be here in the fading northeast. How are we going to live?
The problem is you married a pastor, and I have a congregation which I love very much, and I'm going to stay here and pastor my congregation, and you're going to. But I also have children, and a wife, so if some things go really horribly, I don't know what we'd do. But, I mean, now we're being very apocalyptic. We might as well don our tinfoil hats and start,
our
shelter underground.
How ought a Christian to live?
Preach the gospel and be willing to die.
Oh. You have any other tips?
That's all I have. Is
helpful
say the
tips.
Truth and,
buy more pork okay.
Well, yes, always buy more pork. But that would be my tip during times of happiness and plenty too. So
sorrow. Well, do we have any other topics or
that's it.
Oh, that's it. So we will be back next week and we'll talk about something more calm.
Rationally
and less flapping, and that will be really nice for everyone, and we'll answer our one listener's question, because that'll be really
We have one listener, so we should respond.
We should respond, because it really stinks if we ignore our one listener.
Right.
And I believe also that your mother listens, so that's two.
Right. Does your mother listen?
I think perhaps not. I might ask her.
Okay.
Well, this will be up for the internet to enjoy. So have a lovely weekend and see you next week.